Hello, empaths, healers, artists, intuitives, modern mystics. This is your podcast, Empath Entertainment, with your host, Rachel. Today we're going to talk about when distancing behaviors feel attractive, particularly in intimate relationship. And I think oftentimes, for a long time for me, having such a sensitive system, I felt overstimulated by people who came on a little too strong, right? And if they were really interested and invested, my nervous system would feel very overwhelmed. And so when I had a little more space, that felt comfortable. But often that meant the other person wasn't that interested, right? Which is terrible to, you know, to have that as your, this feels right, you know, this feels really good. I think this is going to go somewhere because I can really tolerate this level of intimacy. So, you know, oftentimes we feel this strong connection with somebody, and maybe there is some soul recognition from a past life, or, you know, someone who has similar astrological like traits and aspects. You know, I know that sometimes if I meet someone who has the same moon placement as me, I'll feel a strong connection, right? Or it'll feel like, oh, you know, we're in the same soul family. Or, you know, also I do know that, you know, when you're resolving karma, you might meet people from the past that come in, and whether or not they're meant to be there very long, you might mistake that for, you know, the intimacy that is appropriate for partnership. And it isn't always, particularly if it's just to resolve a situation from the past. So you want to kind of be aware of that and notice, you know, it does feel good when things are unfolding slowly and you're getting to know one another, right? I think the problem for me would come in when I kind of just didn't notice they were drifting away. That felt natural to me. And that would happen to me. That happened to me a few times until I really got it that, you know, that's not really a normal pace, at least for a man in relationship. So for me, that felt really comfortable. But what I realized when I started looking at myself and my accountability in situations, I had been managing some fears of engulfment, right? And disappearing in other people's needs and agendas. So I had this maybe aversion to a strong, committed, intimate connection that was long term. And I really had to look at that for myself. And, you know, I think the worst part about it was it wasn't just I was okay with that, right? It wasn't like, oh, well, they're distancing. Oh, I guess it didn't work out. It would sort of trigger me and re-traumatize me from these feelings of abandonment and things that I had gone through previously. So it was really a lose-lose for everyone, but especially me, because I wasn't ever really getting my needs met. And I didn't know how to care for myself. I did not know how to have proper boundaries and to really assess what was actually happening. But because I had so many painful experiences, I learned a lot. I think if you have a sensitive system, you learn quickly out of necessity, right? I don't think I could handle recovering from more than a couple really bad breakups. I just don't think that it was in me. So part of me was like, you know what? I get it. I've learned. I'm not going to put myself in that situation again. And I will ask questions. I'm not going to be afraid to be a little more direct. I will ask questions. And I mean, not bombard someone with questions because I still have empathy, but I'm going to figure out what's going on. I'm not going to read into it too much. And not overinvest. And I think that's the lesson I had to learn, not to invest when there's a lot of distance and space and we haven't gotten to know each other. Just, you know, just because it was comfortable for me and that felt normal to me doesn't mean that's what's happening on the other end, right? And there's two people involved. So, and now I think I did a lot of work in studying, you know, bonding and relationship and, you know, how to heal any wounds around bonding and attachment from mother or father, you know, through family constellation therapy, and then, you know, healing an internal separation through internal family systems, sorry, brain fart, but healing that inner separation so you can experience more harmony internally and then create that outside of yourself so that feels congruent, right, and comfortable. And it takes the charge off of connecting. It takes the charge off if someone starts to drift away. It doesn't feel like the abandonment of a parent because I'm not placing the expectation of a parental relationship on a romantic relationship, a partnership. That's a parallel relationship. So I learned these things. I learned, or, you know, how to see order in situations through family constellations and to see where I may have been putting too much of a burden on something, right? Where I should have been placing it back here, right? Oh, well, that's the expectation of a parent, right? You don't give that to a partner. So let's shift that. Okay. And you sort of rearrange things in your subconscious, right? You notice how you're holding things in the subconscious and you have the ability to rearrange it. That's the amazing thing that I don't think a lot of us understand. We're in the control panel, right? Who we are isn't all of these reactions and responses. Who we truly are is the observer, right? The observer watching the experience. That's our true self, right? Another more indications of true self showing up is having compassion, clarity, right? This is internal family systems. Playful, being a little playful. You know, things like that are indicators that you're coming from your true self. And then when things start to feel a little charged or, you know, we start to experience more uncomfortable, heavy, or, you know, even terror or angst or anger, we're blended with another part. That's not who we really are, right? But it's so amazing that my pain... What I did with my pain is I researched. My go-to is learn, you know, when all else fails, I'll just learn something new. And then I'll feel like it's all worthwhile. Even if my heart is shattered, at least I learned something and I can maybe prevent someone else from having to go down that road. So now I have friends coming to me asking about relationships and just, you know, how do I see this more clearly, right? Or what do you think is happening here? And I really feel fulfilled knowing that I can support in that way now. And that now I can see things clearly and I have much more clarity. And it's easier to have clarity for somebody else, right? If you're the objective person outside, it's easy to be in the role of objective observer. Or loving witness, rather. But it's harder when you're in it, right? And, you know, your wounds get a little, you know, those tender points get touched and, you know, all of that stuff comes to the surface at a certain point. And it's an opportunity to look at it and heal it. But how often do we put that we shift the accountability onto somebody else? It happens quite often. So really working on taking accountability for my own healing has been a big part of the journey until it became so much that I started looking at why is it so comfortable to be alone, right? And then I started looking at the other end of the spectrum. Like, at first, what was the bigger pain point for me was the aftermath of creating a connection with somebody who was so distant, not understanding why that didn't work. That was the pain point. And then the greater pain point became, why am I so comfortable being alone? Right. And noticing when it would be nice to have support or, to share experiences with somebody. And then that became not as painful, but, it was something to look at and explore. And I think I'm at the point where I'm able to see and acknowledge reciprocation in relationship. And that's what I'm valuing now. And I really think that's the key. You know, this balance of give and take, it when you hear it, it sort of sounds like, what, we're doing trading now, right? We're bartering in relationship. Tony Robbins told me, no, not to do that. But I mean, at some point you have to take that into account. You have to see, is this person giving me anything back? If not, it's imbalanced. And if I'm the giver, and not receiving anything, I might ask myself, why is that? Am I overcompensating for something? Is this what was modeled to me, right? Is this how I've always seen it done? And is that what I want to create for myself? Or is it time to break a pattern, right? All this work, all the healing work I've done is about breaking these patterns, right? I feel I'm the designated healer of the family. And for a lot of time, I identified as sort of the black sheep, the outcast. And whether or not that was true for anyone else, it was very real for me, because I was really blended with this exiled part, is what we would call it in internal family systems, a part that separated out. I fragmented, I pushed out, I did not want to acknowledge because it was too vulnerable to pain. But ironically, I identify with that part. I get really blended sometimes. And I notice, and that's why, you know, being really distant from people makes sense. It's comfortable. Well, it makes sense. I'm really comfortable with that. I've been alone a lot in my life. And I think healing and working with these parts has supported me in having more clarity around why I do the things I do and what I can do to support a transformation and unburden some of these parts who just feel more comfortable being alone. And maybe, you know, as an empath and an artist with a sensitive temperament, you can understand how that can be scary, imagining yourself disappearing or dissolving in an intimate union, right? It just feels more comfortable at arm's length. So we're creating these, maybe even fantasy-based connections that we might coin twin flame or soulmate, right? Which sometimes is something we do just to make meaning out of bad treatment that we're receiving or even giving. Well, it's my soulmate, they'll put up with it, they're not going anywhere. That's my twin flame, it's part of the journey, right? And, you know, not to discredit any of that, but it is something we want to look at, right? There's a reason we're going there. So I think that when we're a little more aware, we can see that maybe this is a pattern that's been showing up, and maybe we're being called to break that pattern and create more internal harmony so that we can see that outside of us and create more of that, right? We talked about that a lot with the episode 3 about archetype, working with archetype to create more inner harmony. and working with those parts. That's some of the work that I like to do with people. If that sounds interesting to you and you'd like to experience that, check out urbanempath.com services page and see what's going on there. And I'd love to lovingly witness you and all of your moving parts and support you in creating more inner harmony so that you can create some more harmony outside of you. All right. But either way, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Hey, give me a follow on your favorite platform and a review. Also reach out info@urbanempath.com if you have any ideas, things that you're being confronted with, you'd love support, right? Or content around as an artist or a healer or an empath in general. Either way, I feel you. I'm Rachel. I will see you in the next episode. Bye.